Bibles today and turn to the book of John, John chapter 6, John chapter 6, a very familiar passage. And I've been preaching this summer really on the interaction Jesus had with those around him as he goes from place to place. And it's amazing how who he meets and what he does really to bring comfort and peace in their lives and really to help not just physically but spiritually. And I think in today's time, we need that more than ever. And just so as you read God's word this morning, recognize that God has a plan for your life, a way for your life, and a thing to help you as you go from day to day in your own life. And so John chapter 6, really kind of two titles today. I start out with the Baptist buffet, which is good, feeding the 5,000. But then I kind of transition to the Burger King Christian, because sometimes we want it our way, and that's not the right way. It is God's way that we surely need. So listen to God's word, John chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. After these things, Jesus went up over the Sea of Galilee, which was the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company coming to him. He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Father, we come before you. We say thank you, Lord, for the miraculous that you often performed, that the things that you did help people in so many ways. Lord, today I pray as we just look at your word that you would help us to see that you're still in the helping business, that you desire to help us and to move us and to make us, not just physically, but Lord, much more so spiritually. Lord, I pray that we leave this place understanding what you've done and what you're willing to do, that we may carry the good news of that to others that need it so much too. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do for us right now. Lord, I pray that you'd form the very words of my mouth, make good on that promise that when your word is read, it will not come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, I heard about a small plane, a 4-engine plane with prop plane going over Kansas, and all of a sudden, 3 of the 4 propellers just stopped. You could just tell the passengers were frightened as they were looking out the windows. They're like, oh, this is not good. All of a sudden, from the cockpit, burst the pilot wearing a parachute, walking down the aisle saying, It's okay, calm down, don't panic, I'm going for help. So you can imagine as he jumps out and leaves them. We're living in a time and place where people do that. Those in leadership positions, those people that should help us, seem to abandon us at the right time when we need help most. Can I tell you, Jesus is not that way. He is the one that shows up the right time when people need him most and do the most miraculous things in their life so that they know that there's a God in heaven that loves them. Hopefully this morning as you read this passage, you'll understand that God does still do the miraculous. He does still do things that help people in such a way that makes their lives whole. So here's some things from this passage I want you to see. First, there's the drawing of the droves. The drawing of the droves. When you read verse 1 and 2 again, verse 2 says, A great multitude followed them. Here's Jesus. He's in the sea, around the Sea of Galilee. That was his home base there. He's sometimes, or most of the time, up in Capernaum there, the north side of the Sea of Galilee. And so he makes his way around them. And we find that there's a time of Passover. That's why there's so many people there. But they hear about Jesus, and they are flocking to him left and right. They are running to him in a special place. Matter of fact, if you go to the parable or the word in Luke chapter 5, it says, And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And so there he is by that sea there. The crowd are coming with all these desires to see Jesus. So notice something about this crowd. If you jump to verse 10, we're going to find there, Jesus says, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in place, so the men sat down, and the number of them was about 5,000. Can you imagine in this small place, they were coming from every city around there, 5,000. Now, that's not including the women and the children. It doesn't say anything about them, but we know that was the case. 5,000 plus women. There could have been 20,000 people there, but we know at least 5,000. That we need to have that in our mind. And so you begin to ask yourself, well, why come to Jesus like that? Why draw? How does he draw so many? There's a lot of people that study churchology, I should say. They're trying to how to fill the house, how to make it where people come like they did in Jesus' day. Can I remind you, it was not with fancy music. It was not with light shows. It was not with fog machines. And I'm not, if you're into that, that's fine. But they didn't have it. But what they did have was Jesus. And they recognized that he is the solitary figure in history that everyone can relate to. And they came to see him. So we find the crowd there. Verse 2 again says, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Now, it's good to see that they're going out there to him. And I like to kind of pull some other passages because we find this miracle in the rest of the Gospels. All four Gospels share this. So Matthew 14:14 says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. Isn't that great? Jesus, he wanted to heal them. He wanted to help them. As they came to him, Jesus made a priority to be involved in their lives. He didn't say, y'all guys go on. No, Jesus made a point to help people. Can I tell you today, the church is here to do that same thing. We are here to help people with their ideas about their physical illness, yes, but mainly about their spiritual illness. So Jesus did touch their lives. He healed their sick. He healed multitudes, not just the first few in line, but multitudes of people. But he also healed their spiritual illness. Matter of fact, that was his main goal in his life, to seek and save the lost. Now Jesus said in Mark chapter 6 this, and when he saw them departing and many knew him, ran thither out of all the cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came, saw much people, and was moved compassion toward them, because they were sheep having not a shepherd. Notice this, and began to teach them many things. His first priority was to teach them the Word of God. His first priority was to teach them the things of the Father above. His first priority, before anything else, was to show them the way of God, to give them the encouragement that comes from the Father. And yes, sometimes we get caught up in material things of life, but in reality, we must be focused on the spiritual things in life, our spiritual needs. That's why Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, and he said unto the disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life or what you shall eat, for neither is the body what you should put on. For life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. He makes the point that we must focus on the spiritual man first and foremost. There is more to life than material things. Now, I know we need to eat, amen, just like they announced about the food distribution. Now, my math is not that great, so don't just hold me to this. But I think about the number of times we served and about 10 or 12,000 pounds. If you add up all that and just average, this is how I think, a Big Mac, I looked it up, weighs 5.5 ounces. We've served, if it was all Big Macs, over 340,000 Big Macs this summer. Amen? That's a lot of food. Why? Because we understand the needs of people. But not just their spiritual, their physical needs, but we must answer and help their spiritual needs. Why? Because we all need that one thing. We need to be spiritually fed. Why? Because we're all lacking. There are so many things in our life that are not good. We're all born with a sin nature. We all tend to go the wrong way. We just have a desire to do bad. That's what the Bible speaks about, that our sin nature. And so we have the Word of God to point us in the right direction. It's what Christ was teaching. And we should understand that Jesus come to do something for us, to help us in our situations, to help us in our time of need. I found this quote many years ago, and it stuck with me, that Jesus will fix the situation for the saint, or fix the saint for the situation. I'm a firm believer that in your life, if there is a problem and you run to Jesus, he will fix that situation or fix you to deal with the situation. That's how he operates and how good it is. I know we all have problems, but I wonder, are we seeking the Lord to help? They surely did. This week, as I was thinking about this, my two thoughts were this. There is no problem that is too big for the Lord to handle, and there is no problem too small that escapes his notice. There is nothing so big that the Lord cannot overcome, and yet there is nothing too small that he's not interested in. He knows our cares. He knows our desires. I wonder, are we seeking him to fulfill those things? Isaiah 55, 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." They did. They heard that he was in around the Sea of Galilee, and the people flocked to see him. I wonder today, is that what we're doing? Are we running to Jesus? Are we drawing nigh to him? Here's the second thing, not just the drawing of the droves, but now the doubt of the disciples. So we find in verse 5, it says this, "When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company coming to him. He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do." So let me just stop right there. There's going to be a problem. All these people are coming. Jesus, with a compassion, is going to say, "Hey, guys, we need to do something here." Now, really, if you read some of the other accounts, there's a little variation. Let me read Mark chapter 6. Mark 6 says about the same miracle here, verse 35. "When the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a deserted place, and now the time is past. Send them away that may go into the country round about and into the villages to buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." So when you put the two together, they come to him and says, "Jesus, man, these guys, they're hungry." Anybody knows what the word hangry is? Man, when your belly gets grumbling, there are other things that start grumbling. So they come in and say, "Man, we got to do something with this crowd. Get rid of them, Jesus." And then Jesus turns to Philip and says, "Where are we going to buy bread at?" Have you ever felt like, man, why is he picking on Philip? Well, Philip was born in Bethsaida, which is about a mile and a half. Now, Jesus is going to do all this to test him, and really to test the disciples. He says, you're familiar with the area. Where's the best Walmart or the Publix to buy food for these guys?" And Philip's going to say a little bit, "I don't care if there was five Walmarts. We don't have the money nor the time to take care of these guys." But he said it to test them. Why ask Philip? Because Philip, again, was from the area, and yet Philip needed to see something that these others had. They needed to see there was a problem they could not fix by themselves. You ever had problems that you could not fix? Now, I'm going to confess something to you. There's two categories of problems in Paul Osteen's life. The ones that I think I can handle, and the ones I think the Lord can handle. You say, "Oh, shame on you, preacher." I bet I'm in good company. And I bet if you look at your own life, you do the same thing sometimes. You try to figure it out and figure it out and figure it out. And finally, when you have spent all you can spend in time and energy and effort, you finally go to the Lord and say, "Oh, Lord, I need some help," before you get your help. We need to get back to the idea and recognize there's only one kind of problem, and that is the kind that only the Lord can handle. I keep thinking about Jericho and Ai. You remember that city when the children of Israel left Egypt, go to the wilderness. Finally, after 40 years, they come to the promised land. The first city there is called Jericho. They were prayed up. They were ready. The Lord told them what to do, and they marched around the walls of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. They did that by asking God for help. The second city was a small little place, kind of like Worthington or even smaller, maybe. It's called Ai. They said, "We don't need you, Lord." They didn't even pray about it. They just sent a few guys, and they got beaten terribly. Why? One problem they trusted God to handle. The other problem they thought they could handle. I wonder today, have we tried to figure out our own problems? Have we tried to handle our own situations? How do you deal with problems? God wants us to simply place our problems on him. He says in the book of Philippians, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." So let me say this again. How do you deal with your problems? It really depends on what kind of believer you are. Now, we could really kind of chop this all up, but there's like three different kinds. There's the feelers. Those are the ones that really work off emotion. Man, you say something, they get all emotional, which we need some emotional people. We need to get excited about worship. Amen. Sometimes it's kind of dead around here. We need some emotion sometimes. But when it comes to living out God's word, we can't just do emotion. We need so much more than that. We'll get disappointed by our own emotion. We'll make rash decisions based on a snippet of information many times. We need to be more than just feelers. Then the other kind of believer are called figurers. Those guys that try to work everything out. They add all those things up. King Saul was a figure. Remember King Saul and David and Goliath? King Saul came to David. David said, man, let me go out there and fight this giant. And King Saul figured it out. He said, you're but a youth, and he's been a warrior from his youth. There is no way you little guy can beat the big guy. He had it all figured out in his mind. But we know when God's in it, there is nothing that is impossible. We're in this building today because we didn't listen to some of those guys that tried to figure things out. I can remember in the old church yard over there when we first made this choice, we're going to build this building. And one of the deacons, which is no longer in our church anymore, I'm not knocking those guys, but he said, preacher, this is a bad time to be trying to start a building program. This is bad. Economy's going down. We'll never get this thing done. No, let's wait a little bit. If we'd listened to those that figure on man-made things, we still would not have been in this place today. Now, figuring is good. I understand that we need to have a good mixture. We need to recognize some things. But Philip, going back to our story, was a figure. He said 200 pennyworth. In other words, 8 months of wages would not have fed these guys, even if we gave them a little taste. That's the Paulinian paraphrase, amen? 8 months, and everybody got just a little like a communion bread type of taste. Philip said, there is no way we can do this. I want you to recognize today, if God's in it, there's nothing we cannot do. See, that leads to the third kind of person. That's the faither. If God is in it, we cannot fail. Remember that story I just mentioned, David and Goliath? They said, David, you can't. He's too big. David said, man, he's too big to miss. David trusted God and won the victory. And when you have a problem today in your life, if you'll just trust Him, if you'll just focus on Him, if you'll just rely on Him, if you'll just be in His way and do what He says, you will be an overcomer by the power of God. The proverb writer says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So thankfully, even though Philip was a figure, one of the other fellows was a faither. Notice verse 8. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Now he's a doubter too, but there's a small little inkling of faith. He said, yeah, I see the thousands, but there's a kid here that has 5 barley loaves and 2 Elixin fish. You know what I'm talking about? Dean Elixin catching little bitty fish, amen? These little kind of fish, they call them a good eating size fish, but really it's a good throwing back size fish. Small little fish. What of that among so many people? He had a little bit of faith. You know, the Bible speaks about a mustard seed faith all the time. That little bit of faith. I'm telling you, that's all we need, just a little bit of faith. That faith will grow and grow and grow. Do you have enough faith this morning to trust Christ? Do you have enough faith to put yourself in His hands? Do you have enough faith to let Him enter your problem? Because He can fix things. So there's a problem there, but now there's also a procedure in this idea. There's going to be some instructions there, and this is a really important thing. Verse 10 says this, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. What? Make them sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place. The men sat down, and they numbered them about 5,000. Matter of fact, Luke chapter 9 on that same story says, for there were about 5,000 men, and he said unto them, make them sit down by 50s in company. Jesus said, make them sit down. And according to Luke, he says, make them sit down by groups of 50. 50 here, 50 there, 50 there. I wonder if one of them says, what is he doing? there had been a deacon there, I'm sure, amen. I'm just kidding. What is he doing? He's laying out a plan that he wants to execute in the right way. Sometimes it's hard to figure out what's going on, but when the Word of God says it, we should follow it. When the Word of God speaks, we ought to follow to it. It may not make sense to us in one sense, but when God's Word says something, that should be the thing that we do. This week I was thinking, it says, the church has lost its desire to uphold every letter of the Scripture, and in doing so, we have said no to the commands of Christ. Let me read that again. The church today has lost its desire to uphold every letter of Scripture, and in doing so has said no to the commands of Christ. We should do what the Bible says in every way possible. We should do what the Bible says and be faithful in it. Not try to explain it away or dismiss it or say it's outdated. We need to recognize that the one who wrote this is not outdated. And again, we become a nation of churches of Burger King Christians because we want it our way. We have made excuse after excuse in the way we live. We made excuse after excuse of why we don't attend God's church when the Word of God clearly says not to forsake the assembling ourselves together as men of sin. We make excuse after excuse why we do what we do when it is contrary to the Word of God. Why not? Let us get back to what thus saith the Lord is talking about and do that with all of our heart. We cannot do it our way when our way is contrary to God's way and expect a blessing. What thing has the Word of God said to you to do and you're not? He told those guys, make them sit down in groups of 50. If they said, Lord, that's not a good idea, I'm telling you, I wonder what would have taken place that day. They would have missed a blessing, and the testimony would not have been there. I'm telling you, God's called us to do things sometimes we don't think is right, maybe, or don't line up with those things, but God has a plan for us. Thirdly, in this idea, in this particular point, he says, bring the fish to me. Now, if you have to jump to Matthew 14, again, the same parable, he says in verse 18 of Matthew 14, bring them hither to me. In other words, he said, bring me those fish, bring me the bread. I wonder if they had any reservations. I wonder if that little boy said, this is all I got. I wonder if Andrew said, I got my lunch, what y'all boys doing? I wonder if they had any reservation of carrying that bread and fish to Jesus. I think you know where I'm going with this. I wonder in your life, is there any reservation of bringing your life, your things, your stuff to the Lord Jesus? You know, I found that when things are not yours, it's easy to give away. Matter of fact, even the most selfish person here that was giving away food, well, I was probably one of them, had no problem of giving away all that food. Not why? Because it wasn't theirs. They freely gave it away. Can I tell you, nothing that you have is yours, and God gave everything to you. There is nothing that you have earned in one sense, because God is the one who gives every good blessing. So he said, bring the fish to me. Christ's going to do something with that. Just remember, God's calling you to give back to him. God's calling you to give of yourselves your life. That's where our verse comes today, Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that he shall also reap. Whatever you're going to give, whatever you put into it, God's going to multiply. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about you and your life and day-to-day walk. God's not mocked. When you sow, there will be a benefit later on. So the question is, what are you willing to bring to the Lord? What are you unwilling to bring? Maybe it's a better question. What are you willing to bring to the Lord? What are you unwilling to bring as well? Well, here's the third point. Not just the drawing of the droves and the doubt of the disciples, but now the delivery by the divine. The delivery by the divine. Verse 11 says, and Jesus took the loaves when he had given thanks. He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise to the fishes, as much as they would. So notice it starts out with, they give the stuff to Jesus, and he gives thanks. He probably turned to the heavens and said this prayer. He gave thanks. Why? Well, one, maybe for the offering that was given. Thank you for that little boy that gave those bread and fish. Or maybe he said, thank you for the opportunity to serve. Or probably he said, thank you, Lord, for the things you're fixing to do. You know, we're real good about giving thanks for what God's done. We sit over a table every day and we give thanks for the food that was provided. But I wonder, have we ever come to a point where we say, thank you for what is fixing to come? I know Bobby Davis does. He'll say in the midst of the drought, thank you, Lord, for the rain that's on the way. That's what Jesus is doing here. Thank you for what you're fixing to do. So he gives thanks. But now notice the transformation. He takes the bread and divides them. A few fish and loaves now is transformed into tons of food. What's the difference? It was the touch of Christ. And whatever we have is not going to be multiplied until we give to the Lord ourselves. We're not going to be multiplied until we give ourselves to him. But now notice the testimony in all this. Verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fish, notice this, as much as they would. When they were filled, and I'll stop right there. He starts handing out to the disciples, and the disciples, can you see? I don't know if he just broke them up in small pieces, but as he handed out, they never diminished. They just kept filling and filling and filling and filling. I'm sure the disciples, as they were passing out, said, oh my goodness, look at this. Tons of food to feed that many people, because it said they were all filled. Now, I'm a studier, so when I go through these things, I kind of exegete the passage and dig down these words. That word there is going to be emplemi in this particular passage. But the same word is used in the English in Mark 6:42, and it says, and they did all eat and were filled. But the Greek word is different. It means chortizo. It means filled, satiated. The first word means to be fattened. Amen? To be filled so much that they were so full. And I'm sure there were some teenagers or two, amen? They all got as much as they could stand. They all were filled. They were full no matter how you looked at it. So I'm reminded that's a picture of Christ filling us. Christ said in John that he is the bread of life, and he bids us to partake of him. So many times in life we're so full with other things that we have no spiritual appetite. Sometimes they're passing out Christ in one sense, and yet we say no thank you because there is no spiritual hunger because we're so filled with all this other stuff. These people were filled with the thing that Christ has given them. Verse 13 says, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now, I mentioned a while ago, I wonder, do they have a hard time giving that 5 loaves and fish to Jesus? I wonder, do they think, well, let's keep a few back for ourselves? They didn't. They gave it to Jesus, 5 loaves, 2 fish. They distributed to the multitude. And then Jesus said, y'all boys, pick up the leftovers. And so they went back through the crowds with their baskets and started picking up. And when they got back, notice the Bible says, 12 basketfuls. And you start counting the disciples, and there's 12 disciples. Can you imagine those guys saying, man, all these people were starving to death. We fed the 1,000, and now there's a full basket for each one of us. Can you imagine the power of Christ has been demonstrated like that? Can you imagine the thoughts that the disciples had and said, wow. That's why verse 14 is so important. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. They're basically saying, we recognize you, Jesus, for who you are, the one sent by God to do mighty things. It goes back to this idea, what am I willing to give for Christ? I'm not talking about salvation right now. I'm talking about, what are you willing to do for the cause of Christ that others may see his glory? Can you imagine if those guys said and followed Andrew and said, this we want to give is too little. These things are too little in such great problems or circumstances. What if they just said no? What a great blessing that would have been missed. I like this song. It goes like this. Little as much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There is a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest calling you. Does the place where you're called to labor seem too small and little unknown? It is great if God is in it, and he'll not forget his own. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, he will say, if we're faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little as much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. Let me just encourage you today, if you're here, recognize how God blessed those in that moment. It's because somebody wanted to give of themselves that small offering. And today we're not talking about offerings of money. We're talking about offerings of people. Maybe God's called you to a work. Maybe God's called you to do something. Maybe God's called you to stretch out your faith and be a person that would cause others to know him. Don't hold back. Don't think you're inconsequential. Don't think you're too little. Don't think about you. Think about the mighty one, Christ Jesus, who multiplies all things and uses those things for good. I'm telling you, he is calling us to be the light to the world. I wonder, will we answer that? Will we say, Lord Jesus, please help us, send us, that we may do your good will? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. Maybe today you're here and you have all kind of problems. Your life is swamped. Your life is overwhelmed. Your life is deep, deep. And you're like dog paddling in deep water with sharks all around. You're saying, oh, man, I'm telling you, your answer is Jesus. Call on him this morning. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you, the Bible says. He has come to seek and save you. If you're here today and never accepted Christ, I'm telling you, he's your answer. Why don't you walk that out and say, Brother Paul, I need Jesus. For others of you, again, you have problems. But sometimes you do like me. You try to fix things yourselves, only making them worse. Why not today trust Christ completely with that problem that you've been dealing with and see how Christ can handle it? Let him give you the peace that passes all understanding because you have trusted him. He will not fail you. Maybe today is church membership, and God's saying, this is the place that you need to be invested in so that you may help others. Whatever it is today, don't leave without bringing yourself before Christ and laying your life on the altar before him. It will be the best thing you've ever done. Father, today we thank you so much that you're the problem fixer, that we can trust you in all things, that you will not leave us nor forsake us in our times of need. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes and our hearts that we may simply follow you and trust you and do your good will. Let us be found faithful as you've been found faithful toward us. Bless the invitation. Bless your people. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.